God is really, really, really good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And I thank God for knowing what we need, even though sometimes we don't know or we don't understand what we need, but God knows. And I bless the Lord for that this morning. If you don't mind, I'm going to, I know Brother Dennis has already read the scripture, but I want to read it again from the Message. So I'm going to be reading again Romans 4, 17 through 25 from the Message. And according to the Message, it says, "We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many people. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of people. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's us also. Thank you, Jesus. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God set us right with God. Amen. Ain't that all right? I ask that the Lord bless the reading of his word and that he will continually sanctify it in our hearts, God, and that we will grow as we study and live out the word of God. Let us pray first. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, God, that you have anointed me and set me before your people for this time. I pray, God, that all that you have imparted to me during my time of study, God, that it will come forth as you want it to on your people. I pray, Lord God, that you will quiet my spirit, God, that I dare not get ahead of you. And I pray, God, that you will word my mouth, God, that your people might hear from heaven today. So crucify any manifestations of flesh in this place, God, and you be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Today I want to talk to you from the thought, are you expecting? Are you expecting? And for the brothers that don't like that title, I got something for you too. So the B theme is, you might be delayed, but you're not denied. So I'm going to ask you to ask somebody, are you expecting? Are you expecting? Or brothers, go ahead and say it. You might be delayed, but you're not denied. Have you ever been in a waiting pattern in your relationship with God? You read in the Word that you could ask your Heavenly Father for whatever you wanted according to His will. So you tried this for yourself, but nothing happened. Have you ever been so desperate for something that you did everything you knew how to do to get that very thing that God promised you, but it backfired on you? Have you ever felt like God has forgotten you? Have you doubted that what you believe God for will never come to pass because you've been waiting 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and you feel like time is ticking away? So I stopped by to tell you this morning that you may be delayed, but you're not denied. And the 3 points that I want to leave with you are calling things forth. Number 2, don't be weak in the faith. And number 3, you better give God glory. Number 1 is calling things forth. Number 2 is don't be weak in the faith. And number 3 is you better give God glory. And last week when I preached, I had to preach at Worcester Baptist Church. And I just have to tell you this. This is my disclaimer. I got braces, y'all. And let me tell you, this is a whole new experience for me. Because it makes me feel like I'm talking funny. So I'm just asking you to bear with me while I deliver the word through these braces. Amen. When we speak, we launch things into the atmosphere. Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You see, our words are even more powerful because of who our daddy is. Because of our connection to the Father, we have been endowed with power that has been invested to us through the blood of Christ Jesus. Yeah. We got it like that. Yeah. Whatever we speak according to the will of God, He has to back up. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs 18 and 21a. So a lot of times when we look at situations and in our humanness, we assess things by what we see in the natural. Let's look at Sarah and Abraham. Sarah and Abraham were old as dirt. Sarah was so old that I heard somebody say that her eggs were hard boiled. And there's an old adage that says, age ain't nothing but a number. But how many of us know that when you're old like that, some things just seem like they're not going to quite happen? And so in our fleshly assessment of the situation, we can't even fathom how she could give birth to anything but dust. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 11, the scripture tells us, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. See, she was way, 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 way past childbearing years. But when we make an assessment through our spiritual eyes, we come to realize that there is nothing that is too hard for our God. And when I say nothing, there is not one thing, no thing that is too hard for our God. And as I read in the message, it says, we call Abraham father, not because he got salvation by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in the scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many people. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God can do. Anybody trusting God today? Your situation is looking hopeless. But Abraham believed anyway. He decided to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on the basis of what God could do through him. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples because God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And that's what we need to do. We need to believe God. We don't go on what we see with our natural eyes, but what did God say? Yeah. And so when we start to believe what God says, then we won't be weak in the faith. We won't be like Ezekiel. We will begin to speak the word of the Lord over those things in our lives that look dead. The Bible says that Sarah's womb was considered dead. And you see, we have to believe with the assurance that God will do everything that he has promised us he would do. And I believe it was Joyce Meyer says that the word believe is the acronym that says, because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every time. And anybody in the house, is there anybody in the house today living with a spirit of expectation? And I remember, I think it was last year for Valentine's Day, my husband took me to this restaurant. And it was like a really exclusive restaurant. And so we went to this restaurant thinking that we were going to have a quality meal because the restaurant had that kind of reputation. Everybody all over town was talking about this particular restaurant. So there was an expectation for us when we got to that restaurant. We expected first class service. And that's how we should be as a body of believers. Because of who our daddy is, we should expect the very best. And see, when we went in this restaurant, they customized our meal. And they told us beforehand, because of the thing that we ordered, that it would take a little extra time to have our meal prepared. And see, as a body of believers, sometimes when we come to God with a special request, we have to know that it takes a little time for God to begin working out the details of our meal. But we come with a spirit of expectation, believing that whatever we have given to the Father, he will work out for our good. But sometimes, when we are operating in the flesh, when we are looking through our own eyes or our own lenses, instead of having the mind of Christ, we lose focus. We get our equilibrium gets off kilter. And we don't begin to believe God for that hopeless situation. We don't believe God for those things that are looking dead in our lives. When we have to wait more than 5 minutes, we think God has forgotten us. See, we live in an age where everything is instant. And so we begin to have that mindset that God is supposed to act on our request instantly. We begin to treat God like he's against all odds. We have to believe the impossible, no matter what it looks like. And see, that's when God gets the glory. That's when our faith is activated. See, our impossibility is God's opportunity. And see, people are looking at us. They know what kind of condition we are in. Some people in the congregation, people know your stuff. People know your stuff. And people may walk around laughing at you. People may look at you and wonder, she must be crazy. She must be out of her mind waiting for that. That ain't gonna happen. And I'm here to tell you that not everybody will share your faith. You have to believe what God promised you. The promise was for you. God didn't talk to anybody else about your promise. He talked to you. So why are you allowing people to be all up in your ear about what God promised you? We have to stand on the word of God for ourselves and believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that our minds can even ask. We can't even think of what God is going to do. We can't fathom how God is behind the scenes, under the soil, working that thing out for our good. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said it? Shall he not do it? Have he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? It might not look good right now. It might be uncomfortable right now. But he's working it out for his good, for his glory. And then I read in 2 Peter 3:9, he is not slack. Come on now. Concerning his promises. He's not a deadbeat. He doesn't fall short. That's not who he is. It's not even in his character. Because the bottom line is that we were created to make his name glorious. So if he doesn't work through us, how can his name be glorious in the earth? He has to back up his word. Sometimes we always say, oh, we're waiting on the Lord. But guess what? The Lord is waiting on us. And what is he waiting for us? He's waiting on us to believe him. To believe him. To trust him. Trust him like you have never trusted him before. I remember a couple years ago, and I might have said this story before, but I'm going to say it again because it's real. My husband had this fish tank in our house. And anybody that knows my husband knows that he loves exotic fish. This fish tank was like crazy big. And he had these expensive fish in this fish tank. And so one day, one of the fish decided that he had a bonsai tree in the fish tank. One of the fish got stupid, and so he tried to eat the bonsai tree. So we came downstairs in the morning, and we looked. The fish's mouth was so swollen, it couldn't close. And so the fish, you know how fish is swimming? So the fish is like, and we're like, oh, Lord. Okay, this fish is about to die. So my husband, being who he is, decided he was going to perform surgery on the fish because he wasn't going to let his fish die. And so I said, Lord Jesus, I can't believe this man. So, but that's another story. So he decided he's going to go in with a pair of tweezers to remove the bonsai tree. And so me and the kids are walking by, and it's not looking pretty. The fish is real, the lips like that. The fish lips were out there, and the fish is losing oxygen. And so I told the girls, I said, no matter what it looks like, we're going to believe God for this fish. Because my husband had lost his mind about this fish. I said, we are going to pray over this fish, and we are going to trust God for the life of this fish. Because guess what? The Bible says that we can pray about anything. And guess what? We were praying because that was a concern that my husband had about that fish. So me and the girls decided we were going to believe God with him for the life of this fish. So we got in prayer, and I kept telling the girls, every day we was walking past that fish tank, and the fish was like, I said, Lord Jesus, and I said, I'm not even looking. I'm not looking in the natural because the fish is almost dead. In the natural, this fish will never make it. I'm not going to look. I'm going to believe God. God promised us that this fish shall not die but live. I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to hold on and hold out. Let me tell you, that fish lives. The fish lives because we spoke the word of God to that situation. And let me tell you, if we can speak the word of life over a fish, come on, somebody, we have the power of God invested in us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can speak the word of life. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Yes, they can live because the power of God resides in us. We can speak it and it shall be. Isn't that what God did when he created? He spoke it and it was. And the Bible tells me that we will do greater work. We have to believe God in the face of those things that seem dead to us. That lost husband, that lost wife, that lost child, that Uncle Peaches in your family, that job, that co-worker who's stabbing you in the back. Whatever it is that is dead in your life, you can speak the word of God over your situation. The one God, the owner of and CEO of heaven and earth, spoke things into existence. He created something out of nothing. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it came to pass. Yeah. And so, just like he did, if we want to look like our daddy, we can speak the word and it shall come to pass. And see, when you begin to speak the word, that activates our faith. Because that's telling God that I'm not weak in the faith. I believe every word you said. And I'm going to stand on your promises. And do you realize that when you speak a certain thing, it comes forth? Josh, come here. I spoke a word and he came forth.
That's right.
Just that simple. It might seem elementary to you, but his mom spoke the word. I told him to come forth, and he came forth because he recognizes that my mom is an authority figure in his life. And so I spoke, commanding him to come forth, and as a child, he came forth based on what his mom told him. And that's how God wants us to call things into existence. That's how he wants us to speak a word. That's when God recognizes that we're not weak in faith, but we're calling things. Calling things that are not possible as though they were. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And verse 20 says that in the Bible that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And stagger in the Greek means that he didn't doubt. He did not doubt. It is pronounced diakri. Diakri. It almost sounds like he's decreeing. Diakri. And so he didn't doubt, but he believed what God said to him. I want everybody to turn to Genesis 21, 1 and 2. Genesis 21, 1 and 2. You with me? And it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. We have to understand that the Lord has a set time for your miracle. He has an appointed time for your miracle. And the word Lord in this portion of scripture, in the Greek, it means that he is supreme in authority, that he is the controller of your miracle. He knows what is going on in your life, and he alone knows what it's going to take to set up your miracle. See, God is not in a hurry working out his plan. We fret and fume, we hurry and bustle, but Jehovah has all of eternity at his disposal, and he's working leisurely and with deliberation. Did you get that? He's working leisurely. That means at his own pace, and he's calculating. He's setting things in motion to make things up in alignment for your miracle. And I read that a faith that is incapable of enduring trial is no faith at all. If you can't stand the test, that's no faith. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. So faith has shoes. It's moving. It's believing. It's trusting against all odds. But when we walk in faith, we walk with the hope, the assurance that God is in control. And if you, in your leisure time, I want you to go back and read Genesis 15 through 21. And it talks about the story of Abraham and Sarah and how the of waiting. I know it must have been rough. I know that probably people looked at them like they had lost their natural minds. Like, you gotta be crazy. Ain't nothing coming out of Sarah. You know, people say, you see how old she is. But God is not looking at our capabilities. He is the God of impossibility. And see, that's when God performs his best work. When we're at our worst, when our conditions are at their worst, that is when God is at his best. And don't let us get it twisted that we got it going on like that. We cannot do anything without God. We are the vessel. He's working through us to bring glory unto himself. And see, as I studied, I read something in a commentary. It said that when the angel visited Abraham and told him about what God was going to do, he laughed. But it wasn't a laughter of sarcasm. It was a laughter of worship. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this for me. For me. Look at what you're doing for me. On my behalf. Everybody in town know I'm 100. And look at what you're doing for me. I'm 100 years old. And you're doing this for me. Anybody ever believe God? And then when God showed you in a vision or a dream, and you're so humble that God would even consider you, that God would even show you a glimpse of what shall be. God is faithful. And his promises are a sure thing. And because Abraham got a glimpse of what God was about to do, he began to give God glory. He began to give God honor. He began to worship God like never before because he could see with his spiritual eyes that it was coming to pass. The very thing that he and his wife had prayed for, it was about to break loose. And because of that, he gave God glory. He exalted him. He praised him like never before. Anybody in the house got a praise for the Lord? You don't see it, but it's coming. Anybody got a praise for what looks like it's impossible? I dare you to praise him for what shall be. I dare you to praise him for what you don't see with your natural eyes. I dare you to praise him. That situation that you thought was dead in your life, I dare you to praise him. Those things that are dead, according to the natural, I dare you to put on your spiritual lenses. I dare you to assess them according to the will of God. I dare you to speak life. I dare you to prophesy in Jesus' name. I dare you to call forth. God, we believe you. God, we trust you. We don't see the manifestation, but God, we believe you. We're going to hold on, God. No matter what it looks like in our lives, God, we're going to trust. Anybody with a spirit of expectation, how many of us know that he saves the best for last? He saves the best for last.
because he's under the soil. And you know when you plant a seed, you got to give time for the seed to grow. He's setting things in alignment. Whatever we loose. And I believe in God for the promises. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long I have to hold on. I don't care what it looks like. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Anybody holding on to the king's promises? And guess what? If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to see the king. I believe God. I'm stupid enough to stand on his word. And guess what? They gave me some, they call these progressive lenses. They said that because I'm, I'm not seeing so well. So they gave me these glasses to try to help a sister out. Well, guess what, y'all? I can't see with these. So I said, you know what, God? I trust you. Whatever you need me to see, I'm going to see. And guess what? There are some things in our lives that look hopeless. I have some hopeless situations. You might have some hopeless situations. But I've decided that those situations are not my problem. Because I've turned them over. It's too much for me. I've cried. I've prayed. I prayed and I cried. And I've exhausted myself. And I read somewhere that there was a saying that says, it says, worry is the end of faith. And faith is the end of worry. And I've been trying to figure stuff out and asking God, well, how am I going to do this? And how is this going to go over here? And how, God? And God said, you know what? Get the how out of here. Get the how out of here. Because I promise you some things. And what I said goes. Period. It's no, but God, he said period. So I want you to shut down your own thinking and you get the mind of Christ. And the word tells me that he will keep me in perfect peace as long as my mind is stayed on him. And see, so that told me that when I'm not peaceful, that my mind is not on Christ. When I'm all in a tizzy and things like, oh God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because guess what? I've moved from God. And God is just sitting back, chilling. Because he said, I promised. And those dead things, the Bible says he quickened Sarah's womb. If he could open a womb of Sarah, we already saw in the scriptures, look how old Sarah was. And the Bible said that she was way past her childbearing years. If God could do that, and then didn't it say to us that it wasn't just for them, but it was for us also? And so when we look at the word of God, we think, oh, that was back then. Miracles don't happen like that no more. But guess what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you know what? What I found out about us as Christians, we exercise our faith at our convenience. Isn't that what we do? And I'll give you an example. And everybody don't jump up at one time. When you came in today, how many of you checked the seat to see if it will hold you. Raise your hands. Come on, come on, come on. When you came in, you plopped yourself on the chair. You didn't check because you believed that that chair was capable of holding you. But when it comes to God, we don't believe God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. We select whether we want to have faith or not. How many of us go to work every day and trust that you're going to get paid at the end of the week? Faith. How many of us, when we turn on our water in the morning, we don't tap the faucet, see if something's going to come out. We turn on the water. We get in the shower. We open the door to the refrigerator. We believe that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. And that's what God is saying to us. We got to believe God that he is going to do what he's supposed to do. Are not we the righteousness of God? Are we not the king's kids? Are not we walking in holiness? We say we walk in holiness, though. If we're walking in holiness, don't we expect good things of the Father? If we're doing our end of the deal, don't we expect him to do his? But see, that's when our test is tried. When we go through these situations and we forget all of that little stuff. But the little stuff is not little. God is showing us every day. This is a faith walk. And if you can trust me for the small stuff, I'm good for the big stuff too. If we have a lot of small stuff, that adds up to the big stuff, right? And so when we wait on God, we need to wait on him by calling things forth. We have a tendency to speak death. And God is saying, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I'm tired of hearing the negative. I want you to look at the situation and speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whatever we say, we're launching into the atmosphere. God said, let such and such be, and it was. And so that's the way we have to speak. We have to call things forth. And then we have to stop being weak in the faith. Because he has promised us. And we can take it to the bank. Because he is our daddy. So, call things forth. Don't be weak in the faith. And give God glory. Ain't that all right? And if we begin to do those things, we will be blessed. And that we will begin to see the manifestation of God. But know that in your season of waiting, that God is not a microwave God. He sets things in line and in order according to his time. Our times are in his hands. And he's working it out for our good. Because he sees the big picture. We only see the small part. He sees the big picture. So we have to trust him and never doubt. Abraham staggered not. He did not doubt. He was delayed, but not denied. Anybody believe that today? You might be delayed, but you're not denied. Do you come to God with a spirit of expectation? I want you to stand all over God's house. Somebody in here today might feel like, oh my God, my life is a wreck. I have no hope. It's dead. Everything in my life is dead. Well, guess what? God can call those things that were dead and make them alive.
That's right.
And all he wants you to do is come and give him your hand. Give him your hand, your heart. Allow him to begin to work in your life that he might work it out for your good and for his glory. Because he has the master's plan. And the Bible says that there is nothing too hard for the Father. Not one thing that you and I will ever experience in this life It's too hard for him. He is the master of the universe. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So if God is the master of the universe, if he is the creator of heaven and earth, then he got you. He got you. There is nothing that the Father cannot work out in your life, no matter how big, how small. He's just waiting for you to give it to him. Because in our flesh, in our human fleshness, we cannot handle some things. And he didn't mean for us to handle it. He wants you to turn it over to him. So if there is one, won't you come today? If you are in a church and you feel like the Lord is calling you out of that church into another branch of Zion, we're asking you to come.